Good morning, Calvary Chapel. It is first day of school eve. Kids, are you ready? Parents, are you ready? Teachers, are you ready? Yes. Bus drivers, yes. Let's all stand up and praise God.
You live, you died, you said in 3 days you would rise. You did, you're alive. You rose. Thank you.
You are beautiful. You are beautiful.
thank you again for this place where we could freely sing praises to you, our Father in heaven. Be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go and greet one another.
Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel of San Antonio. If this is your first time here, I'd like for you to grab your bulletin, open it up, and you're going to see immediately that we do all kinds of things here at this church. Specifically, we give a lot of preeminence to God's Word, and as you can see that we have a Bible study for pretty much every day of the week. Saying that, let's see here. On Monday, later on this evening at 5:30, Foundations class will be held here. The topic will be the nature of God, and that will be with Mr. Nori Bush. Let's see here. Monday, there will be no evening ladies, men's, or youth Bible studies. By the way, guys, for those of you that have children here at the Christian Academy School, tomorrow, first day of school. Keep the teachers, the parents, the students in prayer, specifically for those parents that are dropping off their little kindergartners off. It's hard. It's going to be hard for them. Let's see. Justine Bryson's quinceañera will be celebrated here at church this Saturday at 1 p.m. So it's open to the public if you'd like to celebrate that with her. Also, the men's retreat, you can still sign up for that. T-shirts are available online. T-shirts are available online. So you can go ahead and log into our Calvary Chapel SA and order your T-shirts directly from us. Cell phones. If you have a cell phone or anything that makes a chirping sound or you think it'll be a distraction, please go ahead and turn them off or put them on vibrate. Offerings. If you desire to worship the Lord by giving of your offerings, there are boxes in the back of the sanctuary, offering boxes in the back sanctuary, outside in the foyer, and also online. Let's see here. Oh, and of course, the reason why I'm here and Sam's taking a break. I've got a bit of information for you guys in regards to the trip to the Philippines. Pastor Ron has been mentioned this trip for a long time now, and I've got some pretty good news for all of you guys. For the past four years, we've been wanting to take a trip to the Philippines. And every time it's just kind of bottomed out. It just didn't work. And we know now that God had a reason for it. The information I'm going to give you right now is incredible. It's almost unbelievable. We will be heading out to the Philippines, Cebu specifically, March the 10th through the 19th. And our good friend and brother Dr. Ray, who works out in the Philippines, he's pretty much, we've given him the vision, we've given him what we want to do in the Philippines, and he's kind of taken this thing over, and he's brought to me this incredible package for you guys. So, round trip ticket, hotel accommodation for all of those days, meals for all of those days, ground and water transportation, the price is $1,500. Which is incredible. It's unbelievable. Just a quick little detail here. And it's been confirmed, the Philippines Air Force is actually going to pick us up from the airport and take us to our hotel also on our way back too. And this hasn't yet been confirmed, but there's even a likelihood that they will give us the Philippine Navy will give us a ship, lend us a ship so that we can go and go where we need to. Again, this is incredible, you know. So I think Richard will be great for that. Again, this is just a really incredible thing that God is doing here. The door has been open to us wide, and I mean, I am extremely excited, and I would like for you to invite all of you guys to go. You know, we, in our minds, Pastor Ron, he's thinking 100 people, but that's not the limit. I mean, whoever wants to go, as many as can go, are available to go. So please prayerfully consider this. If you have a desire, even as I'm speaking, if you have a desire to go, go. Don't let money stop you. Don't just begin to, if you don't have your passports, please get your passports immediately. And just start saving up your money and praying that the Lord will continue doing what he's doing. Again, it's incredible. There are other things that are out there that I wish to speak to you guys about that are as extraordinary, but right now I just wanted to give you that information and to, again, prayerfully consider going. It's a life-changing trip. You know, we call it mission trips, but as Pastor Ron will explain to you guys later, this is more than just a mission trip. You know, we're not going to build orphanages or anything like that. It's going to be an exciting time there. A lot of lives will be changed. Specifically, your lives will be changed. Many ministries will grow out of this, out of these experiences. So, again, I want to invite all of you guys to go. Don't let money or anything like that stop you from being part of this wonderful thing. So with that, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you so much for bringing us again to this small church and what you're doing incredible things through. I thank you, Lord, that you have counted us faithful in putting us into ministry. You are a good God. And you continue to amaze us by the things that you're doing through us. I pray that we would take courage and that we would totally embrace who you are. And that we would listen to these matters, that we would truly trust in you regarding this trip. But at the same time, I know, Lord, that in today's teaching, you're going to speak to each and every one of us. And I pray that we would also extend the same courage and faith, Lord, to totally grasp to your words, that we might be changed, that we would be more and more like you, Lord. And if there's anyone here that does not know you, I pray that even through this study, that you would call them tenderly by their names and bring them into your family, for you have a great plan for their lives. Again, thank you for this wonderful family, and continue to do incredible things through this little church. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
My help comes from the Lord. Thank you.
Jesus, we thank you again for being in this place. Lord, though we don't see you, we know you're here. Thank you for your presence, your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray, God, that as if we come into this place with things on our minds, the world's weight upon us, I pray that you would take that away and that we would focus on you, knowing that you have a word for us today, the blueprint of life. I pray, God, that we would follow each and every word that you teach us. We thank you, God, that you've given these words to Pastor Ron to show us your way. And I pray that you would continue to fill him afresh and new as he delivers those words to us, and that, God, we would be willing to receive all, not just some, all of what you have in store for us. Lord, we are to be used to bring joy to this world, and we can't if we don't have you. So I pray that if there's any in this room today that doesn't have a relationship with you, that they would discover the joy of walking with you. Be glorified as we continue to worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You guys. Good morning. Ephesians chapter 5. I have good news and bad news. The good news is the Philippine Navy is going to give us a ship. The bad news is I'm driving. It's going to take every fiber of my being when I'm there and in all of the announcements leading up there not to say Philippians. So you can pray for me. I know Pastor Juan mentioned it, but please be praying about the trip, about your participation. I don't care how many we take. I would love it to be a huge group. As he said, it'll be a life-changing event. Please take steps of faith and get passports. Don't wait till the last minute. Go ahead and get your passports and that taken care of now. The trip is eminently affordable, and the Lord will provide and open doors and do miracles if he wants you to be there. All I want you to do is ask him. You're his servant. All I want you to do is ask him. And if he says go, then he'll make sure you have the ability to go and take the time. Also, men, we're less than 2 weeks away now from our men's retreat. My friend, Pastor Rick Brown from Calvary Chapel in Idaho Falls, will be here sharing with us. And we'd love to have you be there. As I always tell you, we don't want money to be the reason you can't be there. The Lord will provide. Again, we need people to pay. Obviously, we're not a rich church. No, duh. But God always provides. The people that he wants there will get there. So ask him about that as well, and you will be blessed. I promise you that as well. So, the only other thing, two things before we get started. I was just given word that Cindy Gomez, a sister in our fellowship now for some time, is undergoing surgery, getting ready to go into surgery right now. So please keep Cindy in your prayers. She was diagnosed just this weekend with cancer. And the situation is urgent enough that they didn't want to wait at all for surgery. So she is being taken in even as we are meeting this morning. So please keep her in your prayers throughout the day. Paul and I went to see Tusi on Thursday. She's doing as well as can be expected. She has been struggling for many, many years with cancer. She had a tumor removed that was creating a lot of pain and blockage. And they're just trying to make her well enough to go home back to San Diego so she can be with her family in her last days. So please keep Tusi in your prayers. She is a faith giant and her faith is strong. She gives, sends her love to all of you. She wants me to thank you for your prayers on her behalf. She is just a wonderful, wonderful, godly woman. And we're going to miss her. But God can still do a miracle, so please pray for that too. Lastly, before we get started, if you are a teacher here at the academy or in the public school system or in the private school somewhere else, would you please stand? We want to pray for you.
What'd you say, Brandon? That's your baby, that's what you said?
You know, you just can't take Brandon anywhere. Thank you. You know, we say this to military people all the time, thank you for your service, but we truly thank you. What you're doing is more important than people realize. So let me pray for you. Father, tomorrow's the first day of school here and elsewhere, and by the power of your Spirit, Lord, we ask for the strength, we ask for the joy, we ask that we're able to understand what a privilege it is to do this work. And we who are not teachers, Lord, thank you for those that you've chosen. Bless them. Pour out your Spirit upon them. May they take the joy of the Lord with them, whether it's here or in the public school system, Lord. May they be a light in the middle of darkness. Give them the strength to stand with you and for you, no matter the cost. And may all of the children whose lives they affect be blessed because you decided to choose them. Thank you, Jesus. May this be the best year ever. I also want to include, Lord, for our senior class this year, all of these kids I've known their whole lives. The time goes so fast. My prayer is that this will be their best year ever, their most Jesus year ever. And with the help of these teachers, Lord, we have no doubt. Bless them, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you. Ephesians 5. Our study today is really Husbands Part 2. And as we always do, we're going to read the entire section of Scripture. We will have one more study next week, sort of wrapping up the whole idea of marriage. And we'll go into the family section as we begin Ephesians chapter 6. But we're going to keep reading this whole passage. And this is the only time today we're actually going to visit Ephesians. So would you read along with me, please? Paul writes, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." Underline this, please. "In this same way." That's what our study is today. It's what "in this same way" means, what it looks like. "In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Father, in what is a wonderfully rich Bible study today, we go into very secret places. Not secret because you've let us go there and you've let us eavesdrop, but the conversation that we're going to listen in on is designed to show us what "in this same way" means. By the power of your Spirit, God, open our hearts and make us willing, not just to hear, not just to learn about, but instead to do everything that you've asked us to do. And Lord, while our study is primarily focused on husbands today, and this message is how you love and care for your church. And so I pray if there's even one here in this service or in the third service to follow, if they don't know you, if they're not born again, that they would hear from you how you want to love and care for and protect them. And that you have a purpose for their life, sending them into a world for your glory. Convince them that you love them, Lord. For the rest of us, help us to love you more than ever before. Help us to love you enough to say yes, being obedient to whatever it is you ask, be glorified. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus told a parable. And it's important for us to remember who he was talking to. Now, whenever Jesus was talking, there were huge crowds around, and his disciples were always there. But in this particular parable, he was speaking directly to the religious leaders, those who looked like the representatives of God, those who knew what to do. They were experts in the word, but they weren't themselves doing it. And Jesus, I think, with a little bit of frustration, told them a parable. And he said this, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' The son said, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. This son answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. And then he would have taken a break. He would have looked directly at the religious leaders, these Pharisees, these scribes, the teachers of the law. And he would have said to them, 'Which of these two sons did the will of his father?' And from their own lips, they spoke their own condemnation. 'The first,' they said." And while it's maybe a little presumptuous to say this, I think Jesus probably went, Because what he was saying is what he's telling us today. If you know it, do it. If you don't do it, you don't really know it. You look like you do. You look like you're supposed to look. But you're the second son. You say the right things. The problem is you don't do the right things. The same thing is true in a church setting. There's people that come to church, you're dressed up, you're ready, you've got your Bibles in your hands as it should be, but you have no intention of actually letting the Word of God change your lives. We have been in this subject of marriage now and family for some time. And we've had great response, and that's wonderful, but still there are men and women who know this stuff. They hear this stuff, but they've got a million reasons why they don't have to do it, or why they're just not ready to do it. And Jesus would say to each and every one of us, which son or daughter are you? You see, it's okay to be honest. Say, well, I don't want to do that. But then, prayerfully, you change your mind and do what your Father in heaven asks to do. But by simply coming to church, we're like the second son. And there's times when we say things like, well, sure, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but we never make any changes. This is a day to make those changes. Yesterday in this sanctuary, we had the privilege and honor of doing a wedding renewal for Samuel and Megan. We've archived it on our live stream site, and you're able to go, and I would encourage all of you to do it. And the reason is because those are two young people, not 50-year-olds who've been through the ringer and finally grown up and decided, two young people who decided to do what Jesus tells them to do. And the result is a miracle, literally a miracle. And the point in bringing that up is that God will do miracles. He can and wants to do miracles in your marriages, in your families, in your own hearts. if you'll give him the opportunity, if you'll just be a doer and not just a hearer. It's just a decision that every one of us is drawn to today. I was able yesterday to look at Samuel, one of my newest heroes in life, because here was a man who had every reason to bail on a marriage. But he said, I love her. And I know who she is. Jesus loves her. And while she may not be acting like it, I know she loves Jesus. And he was willing to put away all of the shame, the embarrassment. He was willing to say no to his flesh and to his pride and just hang in there, because he did what the Father said to do. Megan. And I use this term, and she understands how I meant it. But Megan, sweet Megan, she manned up, because she accepted the consequences of her sin. She didn't try to make excuses for it. She didn't pretend that, well, it was just a slip, and, well, how come nobody forgives me? She came back to a church that was, frankly, embarrassing for her to return to. It would have been so easy for them just to sort of, well, let's give it another try, go to another church and pretend it never happened. But she came back here to the people that loved her, the people that were praying for her. And she said, I sinned, and I'm sorry. And it was because they did that that God was able to do the miracle he wants to do in your hearts and in your lives. And your marriages, and later your homes. All we have to do is let him. In our study last Sunday for husbands, sort of part one, we learned that Jesus loved his church in general terms four ways. His love was first sacrificial love. His love was unwavering or committed love. His love was the love of a friend, phileo love. And finally, it was passionate love. Jesus was passionate enough for all of us that he died for us. I mean, we don't doubt his passion for us because he finished his course. This morning, as I promised last week, we're going to get much more specific. This is the how-to, the in the same way. Well, what is in this same way? Well, today we're going to do that. We're going to do it by turning to John chapter 17, please. And if you don't have a Bible, or if it's easy for you to see, we're also going to put the verses up on the screen as well. This is the how to love our wives the way Jesus loved the church. Now, we need to remember that this whole chapter in Ephesians 5 is about life in the Spirit. I like to call it under the spout where the glory comes out. And this is where we're going to learn about Jesus' attitude toward the church and how, practically speaking, we're going to imitate it. More than lip service is required. This is genuine service. This is a time where we need to be obedient. And John 17 tells us. John chapter 17 is without doubt the most amazing passage of Scripture in all of your Bible. It's so private, so intimate. It's you and me being able to eavesdrop in on a very private conversation at a very critical time between Jesus and his Father. Now, I say we eavesdrop. I mean, he made it public for us. But to understand, sometimes it makes you almost feel a little bit like you're sneaking around. Sometimes as I've read it, and I've read this hundreds and hundreds of times over my years walking with the Lord, it's almost embarrassing because you think, I shouldn't be listening to this. This is a prayer that's so far above me. This is a prayer that I'm the beneficiary of. And I get to hear Jesus in his agony. I get to hear Jesus at his moment of need crying out to his Father about the things that were really on his heart. And then when you start to feel a little embarrassed, like you shouldn't be listening, you remember, well, wait a minute, the things that were on his heart, that's me. And so we're encouraged to listen. And in these verses that we're going to talk about today, we're going to study what I call some I have statements that demonstrate exactly how Jesus loves his church and how we are to love our wives. If you're here and you're not married, This is how Jesus loves and cares for you. If you're here and you're not saved, this is how Jesus wants to love and care for you. So this is rich for everyone concerned. Let's start with verse 4. We're going to start at the ending. Jesus says in verse 4 to his Father, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. That's why beginning at the ending is so important here. Jesus knew that his Father's glory lay only in him finishing the task. We remember his plea in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if there's any way this cup can pass from me. In other words, I don't want to do this. But your will, not my will, be done. Jesus brought his Father glory by completing the work, not just trying hard, not just starting well, not just doing the best that he could, but by staying the course all the way. We talked so much about Jesus setting his face as flint to go to Jerusalem, knowing all the things that were going to happen. He couldn't be dissuaded. Why? Because his mission was to bring his Father glory. Now, this for us in our marriages, men, for too many of us, this is where the trouble begins. Too many of us, having understood what God requires of us, we choose not to do it. It's not an option. As you've heard me say repeatedly, we're going to stand before the Lord and answer for our stewardship over our wives and over our families. It's not a question we're going to be able to escape. We're not going to be able to say, Lord, it's the woman you gave me. We're not going to be able to do any of those things. We have to finish the course. We have to be committed. It means that that awful D word, divorce, can never be mentioned. It can never be part of our thought process. We have to recognize it as an attack from the enemy. Why? Because we bring our Father glory by finishing the course. It means there's no giving up. As I mentioned a moment ago, Samuel had every opportunity to give up. He had the freedom to leave his marriage and instead chose to do what Jesus did. Father, I'm going to bring you glory by finishing my course. This is an assignment we have no option. Now, we have the free will to say no, but not without the consequences of saying no. We have to finish the course, to endure, to persevere. Men, there's no higher calling than being your wife's husband. Period. There's also no possibility of bringing God glory in any other capacity if you fail in this primary ministry. How are you going to do on that day when Jesus said, I put her hand in yours, let's see how you did? How are you going to do on that day? I want you to know the answer to that question now, in your heart. If today Jesus asked you that question, and your answer wouldn't be one that brought him glory, he wants you to repent. He wants you to be brave, like Megan was brave, and say, I blew it. I'm sorry. I failed. And he wants to give you a brand new life, a brand new start. All you have to do is own it, because one day you will. I know this is difficult, but it's so important, because God will do miracles. He'll raise dead marriages to life. You need only to give him the opportunity. Imagine Jesus looking at you and saying, how did you represent me to the one I loved? Your answer really, really matters. For the next, in the same way, go to verse 6. Jesus says, I have revealed you. Remember, he's just speaking to his Father. He's not speaking to anybody else. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have obeyed your word. He'll later say, I have lost none that you have given me. I love that. But here's how we could do that. He said, I revealed you to them. It's why there was sort of a tone of exasperation in Jesus' voice when he said, Philip, have I been with you so long that you don't already know if you've seen me? You've seen the Father. How could he say that? He could say that because he's revealed the Father to his disciples. And if we're going to love our wives in this same way, well, here's the obvious point, men. It's our job to reveal Jesus to them. Your wife needs to see Jesus. She needs to experience Jesus through you. When Jesus came, he wasn't here to feel good about himself. He wasn't here to have a successful career. He wasn't here to have others worry about how he felt. He wasn't here to be served. He was here instead to serve. And he served his Father in heaven by serving the people for whom he came. Men, do you see? I hope you do by now, but you need to see your service at home to your wife as your mission in life. It's your marching orders, and your job is to reveal Jesus to your wife and to your family. Your wives, men, need to learn what eternal security is all about by feeling secure in your love. Your wife should learn how much God loves her, how unselfishly he loves her, by the way that you love her. And there's still more. She should learn about God's patience, because you reveal the patience of God in your home. She should learn about God's kindness and his eagerness to forgive and forget. And she needs to learn those things from you. That's why he put you in your home. All of us are his ambassadors, his personal representatives. And it's a mission that we have to take very seriously. Here's an idea, practically, things that help me. You know, there's a million plaques. It's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. You can put signs up all over the place. They're inexpensive. But find a prominent place in your home and put something up that reminds you, this is Jesus' house. And look at it often. And every time you forget it, just for a moment, you go by that sign and you say, oh, I forgot, Lord. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And then go back and apologize to your family. It'll change your behavior. We have to remember that our job is to reveal the person of Jesus Christ, his character, his love, his kindness to the wives that he's entrusted to us. Please note the last part of verse 6 where Jesus said, they were yours. We need to remember, men, that our wives aren't really ours at all. They're on loan to us, but they belong to Jesus, and we're going to give account for how we treat his precious daughter. We need to walk softly in our own homes. Next, go down to verse 8. Jesus said, for I gave them the words, plural, you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Men, God has given you words for your wife. Now, he's also, of course, given you his word. We're going to talk more about that extensively in our study next Sunday. But in this particular case, words is plural. So let's talk about the words he's given you. They're kind words. If you're going to love your wife in this same way, they're kind words. They're gracious words. They're loving words. They're complimentary words. Loaded question. Do you ever speak badly to your wife? Or about your wife to others? Those are not God's words at all. Those are your words. Have you ever been harsh with her? Have you been unkind? Again, they're God's words. They're not God's words. They're your words. Jesus said he gave the disciples and the church his Father's words. And that's what he wants us to give our wives, our families, his words. If you ever wonder sometimes why your wife has difficulty submitting, why she isn't the perfect wife by now, maybe it's because she's hearing a whole bunch of your words and far too few of his words. Stick with his words, and your wife will learn, as Jesus says here, accept them with the certainty that they came from God. Track records are important. Start giving your wives, your children, God's words and not your own. By the way, if you ask him to close your mouths, he will. All you have to do is say, Lord, I don't want to misrepresent you. I don't want to be a jerk. So every time I'm about to, close my mouth And I promise you, it's a prayer he'll answer. Next, let's go to verse 9. Four simple words, I pray for them. I sure hope so. I hope that you do. Not only praying for them, but praying with them. And I don't mean just bless our Lord prayers. I don't mean pray on the run prayers. I mean take your wife, take her needs, take her concerns before the Lord in prayer continually. Cover her throughout the day, every day, all day, as often as you come to mind. I don't know if any of you have wives that call you at work. And you know, sometimes it can be a little inconvenient. Instead, simply say, I can view that as an opportunity to pray for her. And then when she calls and it's an inconvenient time, you can say, well, I can't talk now because I'm praying for you. Pray for your wives, but also pray with your wives. It's your job. Your wives need to see the power of prayer in your life. Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them to pray. Why? Because they saw the power of prayer in his life. Your wives, and we'll learn in a couple of weeks, your children need to see the power of prayer in your life. They need to see that you're not just kind of flying by the seat of your pants, but you really are serious about these things. And as you pray with them, as you pray for them, and as God begins to answer those prayers, then you can come together as a family, you can rejoice together in God's answers to your prayers. And your family's faith will grow as well. If you're not a man of prayer, your family will not be either. Remember, it's your job. By the way, there's a great benefit here, and we men, ladies, you know this already, but we're selfish at heart. We always want something, well, what's in it for me kind of thing. There's a great benefit here in praying with your wife. Praying with your wife is the most intimate thing that a husband and wife can do. Figuratively, you're standing naked before the Lord spiritually. And it's the most intimate thing. You're sharing secrets. You can't have secrets. We talked about that last time. You're sharing the secret places in your heart with one another before the Lord. You're really going to God as one flesh. The most intimate thing a husband and wife can do together is pray. Guess what the second most intimate thing is? Well, praying with your wife often leads to that. And that's something most of us understand. God blesses your obedience. Move down now to verse 12. Jesus says, remember, we're in the same way. This is how we love our wives. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. Now, I can say protection and we think there's a manly thing. Okay, I can finally get on board. But this just isn't protecting them. This is protecting them physically. We would be willing to do that, but protecting them spiritually. It's teaching them to protect themselves by teaching them how to fight, not only watching our example, but by being together with them in the Word. Again, we'll talk a lot about that next Sunday. Teaching them to fight, it's keeping them safe by following God's will yourself. It means providing a safe and secure, a loving, godly environment for them to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. This is what Jesus did. He protected them. Again, we like that image. There's hardly a man here who, if our wife was under attack, wouldn't come to the rescue, no matter the danger. But God says he wants you to do that every day. Not just physically or literally, but spiritually as well. It's your job. Now go to verse 14, because this one is really critical. He says, I've given them your word, not words, word, and the world has hated them, for they're not of the world any more than I am of the world. Now, there are three things in this statement. Again, I'm going to delay the conversation about God's word in the marriage until next week. But obviously, I have to state the point. Give your wife God's word, the Bible. Read it. teach it, explain it. If you're one of those men who says, well, you know, I really don't know that much about it, then stop being lazy and study. Invest in it. I've had men come to me and say, well, you know, my wife actually knows more about the Bible than I do, so I don't teach her. Well, shame on you if that's the case. It's time to grow up. Remember, we're the son, or at least we should want to be the son who did the will of his father, even if at first we weren't willing to do it. But we change our mind. The Bible is something that we've got to spend time in. It'll change your life. And again, more on that next week. That's why Jesus said in our Ephesians text that we're to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Give her the word. But also, by giving the word, the second thing in the context here is we're preparing them and your saved kids to be sent out into a world that's going to hate them. Any of you who are sending freshmen to college, you understand this. You're sending them into a world where they're going to be ridiculed and mocked and hated. You got to prepare them. Well, in the same way, you've got to prepare your wives. When your wife has a godly husband and your marriage is pleasing to God, there are going to be people who resent her for that. And you've got to prepare her to be a light in the middle of that darkness. It's your job to prepare her. And you prepare by giving her the word of God. Third thing in this one verse is that, man, we need to demonstrate personally that we're not of the world to set an example for them. Now again, we live in the world, we understand that. I'm not saying you can't have fun, you can't have hobbies, there aren't things that we can do. But what I'm saying is that it is your job, if you're going to love your wives in this same way, you've got to demonstrate to them, not just tell them, but demonstrate to them that we're not of this world. I belong to Jesus. I'm sold out radically for him. There's sort of an undercurrent in the Western church that sort of states that we don't have to really be that sold out. You know, I can just go to church, that's enough. I'm a good person and I go to church and I give and occasionally I serve. That's not enough. In these last days, we've got to demonstrate to our wives that we're willing to risk everything for Jesus. How are they going to risk everything if you're not willing to do it? It is a tragedy when women really want to walk by faith. They really want to trust God, but they can't get their husbands to take those steps of faith. You've got to demonstrate, men, that you're not of this world. This is just a passing through place. Now, it's a great passing through place. I love where I am in this world. I love what God has given me to do. I love the interactions, the relationships. I love everything about where I am in this world. But the only reason I got here was because I was willing to go anywhere. We have been sent into the world, and that's what comes next, verse 18 and 19. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Here's a great way to test this. When Pastor Juan talked about the Philippines trip, what was your first thought? Man, not for me. Or maybe your first thought was, well, you know, it's just not going to work out for me. It's not my thing. But here's the question. Did you ask? You've been sent. How are you going to get your wife, how are you going to get your children excited about serving God if you don't answer the call yourself? Every single man and woman in this church, upon hearing what God is doing and opening the doors for us to go to the Philippines, every one of us should have said, Lord, here I am, send me. Lord, I'm willing if you'll make the way. And too many of us, we just automatically figure other people are going. We just disqualify ourselves. We never, ever should be among those who don't ask what God wants us to do. By the way, we're not going there on a mission trip, a conventional mission trip. We're going there on a crusade. A series of them, in fact. And people are going to be won to Christ. We're going to take our medical teams. We're going to do street work. We're going to do street evangelism. But we're going to do a series of crusades. And you're going to watch God use your gifts to win people to Christ. And if we're sent into the world, we have to be willing. That's the message we send to our families. It's not somebody else's job. Lord, what about me and what about today? For them I sanctify myself. Jesus went, as I said earlier, all the way for us. He expects nothing less from any of us. And finally, in verse 22, Jesus says this, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. If you're going to love your wives in this same way, then you have to give her the glory that God planned for her. You've got to share the calling in your life with her. You've got to be one. Truly one. Not two people doing different things for Jesus. One flesh serving the Lord. Can you imagine Jesus at this point? He knows he's going to the cross. As soon as this prayer ends, he's getting ready to go out across the Kidron Brook into the garden, into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's going to suffer. And then he's going to be crucified. And he said, I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. If your marriage is two people who know each other doing their own things, then you're not loving Jesus and you're not loving your wife the way he wants her loved. I know Christian families have separate bank accounts, separate hobbies, they spend their time separate, they live in separate bedrooms. None of that is pleasing to the Lord. We're one flesh, no hidden agendas, no secrets from one another. Because if we're going to love the way Jesus loved, it has to be in this same way, because this is his way. And man, our job, remember, we have the free will to say no to it, but we don't escape the consequences of it. Our job is to say yes. We are to be one in Christ. I may have shared this with you before, but it makes the point, I think, beautifully. Paul and I were speaking at a marriage conference some time ago, and the pastor who invited us was sort of struggling. You know, there's always that awkward time when you're introduced right at the beginning. Let me introduce Pastor Ron Paul. He's a famous author of 45 books and heard all around all that nonsense. They want, well, give me your bio. I don't really have a bio. Well, no, give me your bio. What do you do? And so there's this thing where they're trying to introduce you. And this guy, who we happen to know really, really well, he was struggling with the intro, because I just said, look, don't introduce us. Just say, here's Ron and here's Paula. And that sort of hit home with him. And he said, you know, and he was honest. He said to the crowd, I've been struggling with this introduction. He said, but the reason I've been struggling is because you can't think of Ron without thinking of Paula. It's not like there's a Ron and there's a Paula. It's just Ron and Paula, so let me introduce Ron and Paula. That's what Jesus means when he talks about being one. If you're going to love your wife the way Christ loved the church, in this same way requires a oneness that Jesus can pour his Spirit out upon and through. It's our mission in life to walk together, men. As the heads of the home, it's your responsibility to be the one who sets the example of Christ's likeness. Remember, we are his representatives. Make sure your words are his words and not yours. Make sure that you're committed to finishing the course, not trying the best you can, but committed to finishing the course. Make sure you're not blaming her or you're not blaming him for not doing your part. You be committed and do what Jesus would have you do. And as Samuel and Megan demonstrated yesterday, we'll see the miraculous power of God in the process. Let me close by saying this. If you're here and you're not married, you heard a lot about Jesus today. Let him wrap his arms around you. Let him provide for you. Let him protect you. Be one with him. And accept the mission as he sends you out in the world. If you're here and you're not a believer, this is the way he wants to love you, the way he wants to care for you. He has a plan for you, and you'll never discover it on your own. The choices you make are going to determine where you spend forever. And all you have to do is believe. You're not believing in a story or a fairy tale. You're believing in a man that they killed who didn't stay dead. A man who finished the course and proved it was God's course by returning to his Father in heaven so that we will one day be with him. All you have to do is decide. I'll give you the opportunity to do that now. Would you pray with me? Father, as we close this second service, we need your help. By the power of your Spirit, Lord, speak to every heart. First, for those who might be here who aren't saved, they're not born again. I pray, Father, that you would reveal yourself to them. I pray this Bible study revealed your person to them, but you have to reveal yourself. As you knock on the door of their heart, bid them to come to you, Jesus. If that's God speaking to you, you need only to repent of your sins. Acknowledge, take responsibility for the sins. And then ask him to forgive you. He can't wait to do it. And he'll give you completely new life, not an improved life, new life. And I'll give you the opportunity to come forward in just a moment. If you're here and you're one of those husbands that never even asks God, you just do what you're going to do and you're not loving your wives in this same way. If you're not a man of prayer, if you're not a person who trusts the Lord and walks by faith, if you're just sort of occupying space in your home, you've heard now for 2 weeks how displeasing that is to the Lord. Now, he's not angry at you. He just wants so much more for you. And today he's asking you to allow him to do the miracle in your home as the miracle he did for Samuel and Megan. Ladies, if you're the responsible party, maybe you're waiting for your husband to be like Jesus and he's not, so you're doing your own thing. You need to repent today. And I'll give you that opportunity as well. It's so simple. He's waiting for you. If you're here as a believer and there's sin, open, willful sin in your life, then you're the son who didn't do the Father's will. You look like the son who was eager and willing, but you just didn't do it. You can change everything and be the son who is faithful today simply by repenting of that sin and reconnecting with Jesus. Father, please, I pray for faith and strength and courage. I pray that we would come to you unashamed. Let us learn from a girl how to be a man. Do a miracle in our lives, Lord, we ask. For your glory. Amen. If those invitations are for you while the worship team is playing, let the Lord deal with your heart. Get up out of your chair, come forward, stand in front of the stage. We'll pray with you and for you. This is a time when God wants to do things more than you can imagine. You have to let him do it. The choice is yours. Would you all stand, please? The Lord was speaking in my heart, so I took a minute. It just seems that some of you came here looking for answers, and you heard them and didn't like the answer you got. The Lord wants me to tell you that He's not going to change the answers. They're going to stay the same. He also wants me to tell you that He's not going to stop chasing you. And finally, He wants me to tell you that He loves you. He's crazy about you. And that's why He's not going to stop chasing you. Father, as we stand before You today, we do so, Lord, with hopeful hearts. I can only imagine the joy in heaven yesterday as Samuel and Megan celebrated the work that You have done in their hearts and in their home. I thank You for that kind of faith and courage. And now, Lord, give the rest of us some. This may sound strange, Lord, but when I grow up, I want to be like Samuel. We love You, Jesus. Go before us in all that we do. Lord, I want to pray for Cindy as she gets ready for surgery, or maybe even now is just in. Would You touch and heal, O God? Merciful Jesus, touch and heal. I ask Your blessings on these precious people. May we learn to love in the way that You love us, for Your glory. Amen. Let's worship the Lord in song one final time. Have a great week serving Jesus.
Blessed week in Jesus. God bless you all.